Well, that that first song, "You're the Word of God the Father." Well, we can't say that in Islam. From before the world began, we can't say that. Every star and every planet have been fashioned by your hand. We can say that as long as we're not talking about Jesus, as long as we're only talking about Allah. All creation holds together by the power of your voice. We can say that. Let the skies declare your glory. Let the land and seas rejoice. We can say that. You're the author of creation. We can say that. You're the God of every man. We have to stop before the cry of love ringing out across the lands part. So, and again, I told you already that Muslims don't use church music. But if were they to, you would have to start with, every star and every planet have been fashioned by your hand, and go down through, you're the God of every man, and put a period. And that would be the extent of the truth there that we could sing. The rest of that song we couldn't sing. By His grace, we certainly couldn't sing that stuff about Christ being raised and His blood. We can't sing. There is a Redeemer, of course, we can't sing. We could sing "As the Deer," though I have not seen any language in that like that in any Muslim literature. We could sing, and I say this not as a joke, I say this in all seriousness. We could say, "May the mind of Muhammad live in me from day to day." Because to a Muslim, it really is, one author said, it really is WWMD. In the Hadith, we were told of prayers Muhammad used at different times during the day, and a good Muslim wants to say those same prayers the same times, the same way Muhammad did it. So we could change that last word to, "May the mind of Muhammad live in me from day to day." There's nothing about His power controlling all I do and say. "May the Quran dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour." And of course, we cannot talk about looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. I want to try to simplify Muslim doctrine for you in a very brief way, and I'm doing it already through that. I will pray in just a minute. But to put Muslim doctrine for you in a short nutshell, and I was just doing that, think of the biblical doctrine of God, Creator, majestic, all-powerful, all-wise, all-knowing, transcendent, holy, just. Because He's just, He's the judge of all men. He's the one to whom we're accountable. There's a heaven and there's a hell, and where you will spend eternity depends on your relationship with God. He is also merciful and compassionate, a God who forgives. And those who are forgiven by Him will be in heaven forever. Does that sound good? I hope you don't disagree with those things. But interestingly, a Muslim would agree with everything I just said. But now, taking those same truths about God, you have to completely change your view of Jesus. Rather than seeing Jesus as the divine Son of God who suffered for our sin and rose again, instead you need to believe that Jesus was only human, though born of a virgin. He was another in a long line of prophets calling us to submit to God. He did not actually die on the cross, though it looked like it. He did not pay the price for anyone's sin, and He did not rise again. So take that view of Jesus and put it together with the view of God that we just agreed upon, and you have at its heart Muslim doctrine. It's a doctrine of God very similar to that in Christianity, but without any Jesus as Savior. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. Let's stop and pray. Father, would You, in our hearts, magnify Christ. May we rejoice in Him and hold tight to the joy of our redemption in Christ Jesus. I pray for Your Spirit to do that in our hearts today. And Father, I fear that there are some here that are living in their own self-righteousness. They are living apart from the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And I pray that You would do a work of grace in their hearts today to see the beauty of Christ as Savior, and help all of us to joy in the gospel and to be full of confidence in the power of the gospel to reach people's hearts. Will you do those things in our heart today? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to clarify that the Islamic doctrine of God is different from the Bible doctrine of God. For example, we saw in the last hour that Allah is not really knowable. We can know His will, but we can't know Him. And in contrast to that, Jesus said in John 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. And Jesus said in John 17, 3, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus, whom you have sent. So there are significant differences between the Christian and Muslim views of God. But in general, the Muslim view of God is very similar to Christianity, while the Muslim view of Jesus is radically different. And I want to raise a very simple question this morning. Those two things being true, how can Allah forgive? With that view of Allah and that view of Jesus, how can Allah forgive? What basis is there for the forgiveness of Allah, and how can you know that you have obtained it? Now, if you look at the Quran, you will find all kinds of talk of forgiveness from Allah. And Surah 4, verse 110, sounds very clear and simple. It says that if anyone does evil and wrongs his own soul, but afterwards seeks Allah's forgiveness, he will find Allah oft forgiving. That sounds very simple, right? You sin, you ask His forgiveness, you're forgiven. But if you keep reading, things don't seem so simple. For example, I told you that Muhammad also said that if you take a pilgrimage to Mecca the right way, your past sins will be forgiven. Muhammad also one time heard someone reciting Surah 112, and when the man finished, he said, all of that man's sins, he assured that man of his place in paradise because he recited the 112th chapter of the Quran. One Muslim tradition in the Hadith says that those who say Amen after hearing the reading of the first surah will have all their past sins forgiven. What if you forgot to say Amen one time? Surah 2, verse 112 says, whoever submits himself entirely to Allah, and He is the doer of good, he has his reward from his Lord, and there is no fear for him, nor shall he grieve. So, complete submission to Allah is necessary for forgiveness and doing good. Surah 2, verse 286 says, on no soul doth Allah place a burden greater than it can bear. And listen to this line. It gets every good that it earns, a soul gets every good that it earns, and it suffers every ill that it earns. So pray, blot out our sins and grant us forgiveness. Have mercy on us. Pray. Pray for forgiveness. But on what basis? It just said that I will suffer every ill that I earn. Surah 3, 132 and 33 say, obey Allah and the Messenger, that's Muhammad, that ye may obtain mercy. Be quick in the race for forgiveness from the Lord. So I obtain mercy by my obedience of Allah and Muhammad, or by being quick in the race to obtain forgiveness. Surah 3, just a couple verses later, says that those who receive forgiveness are those who never obstinately persist in doing what is wrong. Later in Surah 3, it says that if you are slain in the way of Allah, you receive forgiveness. Surah 5, 9 says that to those who believe and do deeds of righteousness has Allah promised forgiveness. Surah 11, 11 says that those who show patience and constancy and work righteousness, for them is forgiveness. So an initial reading of the Quran suggests that to be certain I obtain forgiveness, I need to submit completely to Allah, show patience and constancy, work righteousness, never obstinately persist in wrong, be quick in the race for forgiveness, ask Allah for forgiveness, go to Mecca and for good measure be slain in the path, the way of Allah. That is a considerable burden, especially when one of Allah's own prophets, Jesus, said, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Jesus described us as defiled by the sin in our hearts. How then can I do all that Allah demands? But I believe there's a more fundamental question. On what basis can Allah forgive? Over and over again, it is clear in the Quran that Allah is a God of justice, a God who pays people in full their just reward, according to Surah 24:25. Allah is just. And the God of the Bible is also just. And the Bible recognizes that therein lies our greatest problem. Because if God is just, sin demands a penalty, and as guilty criminals, God will not violate His justice and simply wink at our rebellion. God's justice means that we're in trouble. Now, Islam recognizes that we are sinners. Islam recognizes that Allah is just. So I ask, how can Allah forgive? What is the grounds for that forgiveness? You see, a just God cannot simply look at the rebellion of creation and say, "Aw, I woke up on the right side of the bed today. I'll let it go." That would be a travesty, a violation of God's nature and Allah's nature. So how, let's ask the question the way the Bible asks it. How can God be just and the justifier of the one who has faith? That's the question I want to ask of Islam. How can Allah be just and the justifier of the one who has faith? But let's look at the Bible answer. You're in Romans chapter 3, I hope. Romans chapter 3. We need to move quickly. Romans 3, verse 19. Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever the law says. Now Islam is big on law. It does not repeat the Torah, the law of Moses. That's not really found in Islam. But there is plenty of law in Islam. Like, you can burn certain kinds of animals and insects, but there are many kinds of insects you're not allowed to burn. You can kill them other ways, but don't burn them. And there are many, 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 many laws in Islam. The law, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed, and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So Islam says that through prophets, Allah reveals His will. And if you submit to His will, you will be forgiven. The Bible says that God also reveals His will, but when we see His will, we see that we are accountable before God, we are sinners, we are guilty, and our mouths have to be shut because we have no argument in our defense. You see the difference? Islam says that by submitting to Allah's law, you can be saved. The Bible says that by the works of the law, no flesh will be saved. Read verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. And this is not a good technical definition, but on a very simple level, when you read that phrase, the righteousness of God, you can think of forgiveness from God. Okay? Apart from the law, forgiveness of God has been manifested. It has been made clear. How do we get it? How do we get forgiveness of God from God? We get it apart from the law, not by submission to the law. Because as verse 10 says in this chapter, there is no one righteous, not even one. And as verse 23 says in this chapter, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If righteousness is obtained by submission to the law, we are all hopeless. It's over. So now the forgiveness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Well, then where do we get it? Look at the end of verse 21. Well, where we get it has been witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now that's a fascinating line, because you remember we said the Muslims believe there are three remaining scriptures from God: the law, the gospels, and the truth through the prophet Muhammad. They believe that God has sent these 124,000 prophets to bring His truth to His people. So, a Muslim ought to care about what the law and the prophets say. And this says that the law and the prophets tell us how to obtain forgiveness. So what did the law and the prophets tell us? You ready to turn fast? Go to Deuteronomy 27. We're going to go to three places quickly. Deuteronomy 27. What did the law and the prophets tell us about how to obtain forgiveness from God? Deuteronomy 27. And verse 26, Deuteronomy 27:26 says, "Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say, Amen. So here's the first thing the law told us. It told us that everyone who does not do all the things in the law are cursed. Now go with me to Leviticus chapter 17. In Leviticus 5, God had told them how to take care of sin, how to cover sin, use the word atone, how to atone for sin. And how was it? It was through a sacrifice. And Leviticus 17:11 explains why. Leviticus 17:11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar." In other words, as a sacrifice, to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. So here's what the law told us. The law told us that forgiveness of sins would only come by the shedding of blood. Now go to Isaiah 53. I know these verses are very familiar, but I want you to see them in light. Of Islam's teaching of forgiveness from Allah with no Jesus involved. Isaiah 53. And verse 5, "But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due?" The law told us that the only way sin could be forgiven was through sacrifice. The prophets told us that someone would come who would be cut off from the land of the living because of our transgressions. Someone who would be like a sheep led to the slaughter, crushed for our iniquities. That's what the law and the prophets told us about the righteousness of God. It would come through a sacrifice for our sins. Now go back with me to Romans 3. I know I'm pushing hard. I'm sorry. I hope you're keeping up. Some of you are getting that, the ropes looking through my fingers look in your face. Romans 3. Keep going. Romans 3. Now, back to verse 21 again. Romans 3:21. "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Now, you understand that now, right? Righteousness is not by the law, but by a sacrifice for our sins. That's what the law and the prophets told us. Now, then, go on to verse 22. Here is what has been made clear. Even the righteousness of God, now look carefully, even the righteousness of God through faith in... Now, would it be okay for me just to say the righteousness of God through faith in God? Okay, technically, if we believe Jesus is God. But do you think there's a reason why this says the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus? But you see what the Quran says. Allah will forgive. You can obtain the righteousness of Allah through faith in Allah. Hold on. Really? Faith in Allah will save you? On what grounds? On what basis? Allah will just decide it? Oh, I like you, you're forgeven? You went to Mecca 3 times, you're forgiven. You said Surah 112 with a good tone, you're forgiven. You died in the cause of Allah, you're forgiven. What's the basis for the forgiveness? How do I know if I have it? God will not violate His justice. Neither will Allah by randomly deciding to forgive you because you quoted a certain surah to Muhammad. The only path to forgiveness is through faith in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 24. Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. I know we've unpacked this verse other times, but I think if there's one verse in the whole New Testament, I wish you could just know like the back of your hand and explain piece by piece. It's this one verse. Romans 3:24. Being justified. Justified means declared righteous. It means you are legally forgiven of all your sins. How do you get forgiven of all your sins? The next phrase tells you, as a gift, not by your merit, not because you earned it, but it's given to you. How? The next phrase tells you, by God's grace, not by your merit, but because God was kind. How is God kind? Because God said, I'm going to let your sin go this time. Is that how God was kind? Being justified as a gift by His grace through what? The redemption which is in Christ Jesus. That's how God was kind. God was kind in that He sent a Redeemer. The wages of sin is death. And God sent a Redeemer to pay the price, the wages for our sins. That's how God was kind. He sent His Son to die to pay the wages for our sin so that we could be forgiven by faith in that Son. Now verse 25, the first phrase says, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation. A propitiation means a sacrifice that satisfied God's justice. That's the issue we've been talking about all along, right? How can God be just and forgive? God displayed Jesus as the sacrifice that satisfied His justice. And so I think the Muslim has to wrestle with this question. Are your good works enough to satisfy Allah's justice? He is just. Are your good works enough to satisfy His justice? He says that He'll forgive you if you're righteous and do good and take pilgrimages and pray 5 times a day. Are your good works enough to satisfy a perfect, holy God's justice? Because ultimately in Islam, you are the propitiation for your own sin. There is nothing else to be demonstrated. See that in verse 25? Whom God displayed publicly. In Islam, you know who there is to be displayed publicly as the propitiation for your sins? You. And at judgment day, you'll be put on public display. Your obedience, your submission to Allah, your pilgrimages, your prayers, your almsgiving, all of that will be put on display. Will what is seen on that day be sufficient to satisfy Allah's justice so that He can say, you are completely forgiven, innocent, free? Continue reading with me the second half of Romans 3:25. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. You see, there's a problem. When they offered those animal sacrifices, did that actually take care of those sins? Did it? Can you kill an animal and have sins really forgiven before God? Can you do that? No. No. So then, how could God forgive? How could God just say, okay, I'm going to treat you as if you're forgiven because you offered these sacrifices? How can a just God do that? How can a just God just forgive people? So it says, this was to demonstrate His righteousness. What was this? Jesus displayed publicly as the sacrifice for sin. How can a just God just forgive sin? Because that just God's Son came and died on the cross to pay the penalty for that sin? How can a just God forgive sin because of the sacrificial death of Jesus? Okay, now ask that question in Islam. How can a just God forgive sin? There's no sacrificial death of Jesus. So then what is the basis for the forgiveness? Romans 3, verse 26, go on, it says, "For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." The Quran claims over and over and over and over again that Allah will forgive. He will be a justifier, though it doesn't use that word. But it never explains how He can do that and be just. There is no Savior. There is no payment for the penalty of sin. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Let me show you one other place in Scripture that echoes these same themes. Maybe this will help emphasize the point. Galatians 3. Verse 10. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them." But verse 13, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Chapter 4, verse 4. "But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Cursed is the one who seeks righteousness through the law. So this staggers me. Islam has a very similar view of God to our view of God. But then they say, just believe in Him and submit to Him, and maybe He'll forgive you. What is that? Just believe in and submit to a just and holy and perfect God, and maybe He'll forgive me? Is there no answer for my sin? Is there no grounds for that forgiveness? Is there no payment of the penalty? The Bible shows you the same God. The Bible shows you a God of righteousness, a God of justice, a God of wrath on sin. But then the Bible says, now that you see that you have made yourself the enemy of God, it says, come see the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It says, now that you see the depth of your wound, come to the cross to see the medicine that can heal that wound. It says, now that you've felt the crushing weight of your guilt, come to the cross and you'll see someone carrying the weight of that guilt for you. It says, now that you see that you are dead in sins, come to the way, the truth, and the life. It says, now that you see the terrible stain of your sin, come to the cross where crimson stains can be made as white as snow. And there you will find peace with God. That's the gospel. There's no gospel in Islam. A holy, just God and a call to submit to Him. That's it. Go with me to Romans 5. My prayer is that God's already starting to work in you a little bit of evangelistic courage. That in your heart there's a little glimmer of, hey, I can tell somebody that. It's starting to burn in your heart. Romans 5, verse 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." And I ask the Muslim, do you have peace with God? How do you know? "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have attained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God." Verse 6, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. The relationship with God is fixed. You have peace with God. Can I ask you today, do you have peace with God? Have you admitted your sin and rebellion and guilt before the Creator God and then turned to Jesus as Savior and ruler? You could have peace with God today. Jesus already paid it all. But do you know there are some professing Christians that think like Muslims? They know about the holiness of God. They know about the righteousness of God. They know they're sinners. And so they try really hard to be good and make God happy. As a matter of fact, you might be here at church this morning not out of love for the God who sent a Savior for you, but because you feel guilty. And you know you're a sinner, and you're hoping this might help make up a little bit. God might look a little better on you because you came to church this morning. You know what you're doing? You're thinking just like a Muslim. Big, holy Creator God, no Savior. I'm just going to submit to Him. I'll be okay. No, you won't. You're trying really hard to clean up your life and make God happy, but you've never actually been humbled at the cross and turned to Jesus alone for forgiveness for your sin. It's really humbling to admit that you're a rebel in need of a Savior. And to be a Muslim, you don't have to. But it's the only way to peace with God. How can God be just and the justifier of those who have faith? He can do that if their faith is in Jesus Christ, who died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Take your hymn books and turn with me to 355. These words could not be more appropriate. I hear the Savior say, look at verse 1 in 355, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Do you see how different that is from I hear the God say, just submit to me and I'll forgive you. We hear God say, I know what you're made of. You're nothing but dust. Come find in me your all in all. How? Well, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Verse 2 says, Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. I'll never do it to myself. I can't. Verse 3 says, for nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And verse 4 says, and when before the throne I stand in Him complete, my refrain will not be, I submitted to God, so here I am. It will be, Jesus died my soul to save. That's what my lips will still repeat. Will you stand together? Let's sing all four of these verses to the glory of God and our Savior. Adam, will you come? That is worship. When a company of redeemed people say, Lord, now indeed I find thy grace and thine alone can change the leper's spots. You paid it all. That is worship. That is what glorifies God through Jesus Christ. When we as His people bless the Lord with all of our soul for all that we have in Christ.
Father, we praise you for these things, and that song we give to you as our testimony of worship and praise today. Now help us to go live in the light of all that we have in Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.